Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. It is Tuesday. Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson, all gathered to have fun in the sun. I don't know what the heck Andrew's got going on.
Well, he's
a new member of Parliament.
Well, people who are, I've watched your whole judicial system, and this is Judge Henderson in disguise looking for a new job in the USA. Because it seems to me that anybody can get a job as a judge in the USA at the moment. With any political persuasion as well. Anyway, yeah, I just thought I'd sort of appear just in case people were looking to recruit judges.
Yeah.
Judge Henderson up for employment. You know, if you want to use some of your 1.75 trillion on me, I'm here.
I'm your man.
Anyway,
I'm
just going to go back.
You missed it,
Andrew Henderson.
So last week.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. And last week was hand week, though, Andrew. You missed it, right? I told you.
You missed it. You got to be at the right place at the right time.
Well, hey, actually,
if you're not in line when the bread's available, you're not going to get the bread. That's the moral of the story.
Jay, you did tell me that it would go through last week. But the thing is, it hasn't gone through yet, has it?
What does that mean?
It went through the House, right? Mm. And then now comes the next step in the process, right? We'll start this ugly Senate process that everyone will, they'll take about a week off here, right? We're not going to do anything this week because the news media needs to do the Joe Biden's economy speech stories for a few days and try to remember they had this catastrophic meeting with the Chinese the other day, but...
You don't know, but our prime minister made exactly the same speech yesterday to the Confederation of British Industry as Joe Biden made yesterday to the American people. And if it's not a coordinated plan by the Davos break the world's economy, nothing was more proof of that yesterday. It was almost the same script, although unfortunately it was our prime minister that completely lost.
Jay, I hope that all the media continues to sing the praises of this economy because people are hurting. Yeah. People feel it. And if the media continues to try to tell people who are hurting that everything's wonderful, they'll create their own demise. So I'm all about that. Go for it, CNN. Do it. More. Tell me how good it is.
The media is doing that here. And we are seeing empty shelves. We're seeing increases in fuel costs. We're seeing energy companies go bust. We're seeing all the trappings of a massive recession just around the corner. And when Boris Johnson comes out with that drudge yesterday, which is exactly the same as the drudge that Beijing Biden came out with, and frankly, nobody's going to believe it. So the next thing is this debt ceiling. I don't think it's really whether it gets through the Senate, you know. It's more the debt ceiling being raised and whether Mitch McConnell can grow one. That's going to be the interesting.
No, see, but here's
one or a pair.
Here, honest, just going to leave that alone. There's really no way to follow
it.
It
would make him cough. That's right.
So the reality is, and this is what I started talking about like 2 months, right, when this whole conversation really got serious, and it didn't make sense then. It may not make sense to people now, but we're still not going to do this process. We're not going to finish all this funding madness through normal order. We're going to end
up
in with DC trickery, right? This is a three-card Monty. Again, we were talking about that, or a shell game. And we're going to end up doing it through the reconciliation process. This is where the really big lie is. There are twofold. One is what's in the bill, because what the House passed the other day is not what they described. In some respects, what they were talking about on the floor while they were voting on it, it's a different bill that was. That's number one. But number two is the mechanical process for doing this through reconciliation will allow them to fudge every number in both directions. It'll make the expenses less, seem less, and the revenue seem more than is real, and we'll still have a deficit, but that asset has deficit spending package, and we'll pass that deficit forward to some future years, and you have to keep, you know, quote unquote, restrain your spending in futures to come up with the rest of the savings. And it's a joke. It never really occurs. At best, we get to neutral. I mean, at best, we get to neutral, but it never actually really solves any problem.
I think you ought to give all of us a civics lesson. What exactly does it mean to pass it through reconciliation? This word "through reconciliation" is being thrown around. I don't think they even know what they're talking about.
Yeah, so the back door is a budget. Reconciliation is a budget process that allows you to reconcile the spending inside the United States. So I was looking up to see how many times we have done it, because I have a sheet that I pulled to see how where it worked. We operated in this whole mode for about 4 or 5 years before. As far as the government is concerned, again, reconciliation is essentially passing budgets, only that realign the spending according to what they've previously designated. And you have some things that'll be in almost every reconciliation bill. If you remember when we did Obamacare, for example, in order to buy off some of the votes, one of the things that they had to do was to get farm state Democrats to support it. They had to promise not to cut crop insurance funding. Yep.
Thank you, Ben Nelson.
So you had crop insurance was the one. Yeah. Said crop insurance that didn't get cut, and then you had Social Security, Medicaid, and then there was some kind of limit. They agreed to some sort of limit on defense spends that could be made in any given budget year. And essentially what happens is that they attach it to a multiple year process, but the reality is that it never plays out quite like what everybody thinks it does. And it's ignored almost immediately, and it's just, go ahead.
So for Andrew and people outside of Nebraska, they probably don't know what I just said when I said, thank you, Ben Nelson. But that particular situation could potentially come back into play, because Ben Nelson, former governor of the state of Nebraska, even though he's a Democrat, he was very well loved. He voted for, he was the swing vote in that Obamacare package. And he voted knowing that he would never get elected again because it was not popular in his home state. Yeah. So to put yourself in a position that you're going to vote for something knowing that the people who will never elect you again to do this, how do you do that? How do you vote in the opposite direction on anything? And he didn't even run. He didn't even run in the next election because he knew he was toast.
I've listened to what you say. Yeah, can you paraphrase it?
Go ahead.
Can I paraphrase it? Because I just want to understand it.
Yeah.
So they don't need the filibuster to get it through. They don't need 60% of the votes in the Senate. So they can simply get it by getting Vice President Kamala's extra one vote, 51-50. And then they can use the 1974 Reconciliation Act to then do all this through, committee, basically. They can spend this money through committee. And I get all that, and I see all that. But can I ask you a question? Because let's say, just say that they get completely whitewashed in 2022. And I mean completely whitewashed. I mean, if they're telling us that Kamala Harris's 25% approval rating and Beijing Biden's at 36%, the reality of that is if the fake news are telling that you can probably take 10 points each off those two figures. And if you do that and then look at what's going to happen in those elections, then could not a massive majority in each House and Senate just reverse all this?
I got to reverse something right here, right now. Okay. Protect the harvest in the trenches to help you fight all of these initiatives. Keep track of the clock, Trent. That's the moral of the story. We'll be back with more Andrew pontificating to go from here after this. Welcome back, Roll Route. Alongside Andrew Henderson in the UK, Jay Truitt in, I think, somewhere around Batesville, Arkansas. I don't know. All right, Andrew, I had to rudely interrupt. Where were you?
No, I'd finished. I just want to know, can this be reversed? Can they say they're not spending all this?
So my response to that is that this is like the plus and the minus doing it through the reconciliation process. There is a positive if you're the party that passes something through reconciliation. And I mean, just a tiny mystery for people in the United States to remember is that, and this isn't that really that long ago in legislative sense, in 2002 and 2003, the Bush White House made some major revisions to the tax code. We raised taxes on middle class, on the upper class, on business options. Estate taxes went away for a short period of time, completely in the United States. It probably was the most comprehensive until Mr. Trump came along that we had had in decades and decades. Because through the reconciliation process, even though the Republicans lost control of both bodies at one point, they could not, the Democrats couldn't unravel about 90% of that because they had also do it through the committee and the spending process. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't until President Obama came, and it really took President Obama, if you remember and go back in your mind, it took him a long while. And basically the only way that they got out of those 2002-2003 tax cuts was to allow them to expire and just not to them. But they lasted, in most cases, for 8 or 10 years, depending on which particular law that we look at. You know, the reality of that is that in that case, it was something that conservatives and people kind of appreciate keeping more of their money. And it did we honestly did restrain some spending during that era. At a time, spending $1 trillion off budget on two battlegrounds in the Middle East, we actually did reduce some spending in the United States. Paul Ryan and John Boehner don't get very much credit for that, but they actually did hold the line about probably as well as you possibly could.
So the side is
the Obamacare example. We did Obamacare through reconciliation essentially as well, and it's a way that against you don't like it.
We keep talking about, well, we, the three of us and a small group of people, smaller government. Jay, I'm going to re-ask the question. Yeah. I don't know what it takes to spend less and reverse the size of government that just continues to blow out of proportion. How do we fix it?
That is the $64 trillion question. And it's funny because $64 trillion is about what some of our outstanding obligations are that we already have in the future. You know, people don't realize how much money we've obligated ourselves to pay for already multiple years down the road. And some may go up to about 92 trillion. I see some estimates at that high.
I'm beginning to believe that I see a fundamental change in the whole fiscal world when it comes to money, because these price increases, you know, I did economics at the university. This is never going to add up now. This is going to be, you're going to have inflation in the United States and in the UK and quite possibly in the rest of the world in double digits. Now, in the past, because 100% of GDP wasn't borrowed in lots of countries, you were able to increase interest rates and increase wages to keep pace with inflation. But because it's all right, you saying you've got a debt ceiling or no debt ceiling, whatever, but we're now into the realms of Greece here. You're going to start to see companies, lots of companies. We've had seven in 1 week energy companies go bust here in the UK. We are going to start to see massive corporations very soon go bankrupt. And it's not, there's one, I'm told, going to happen tomorrow. China's biggest real estate company looks like it's going to go bankrupt tomorrow. So this is ostrich politics, because something is going to give here. It doesn't matter what gets passed through the Senate and the money. The actual money is not going to be there to actually back this up. I can see it coming. And I wonder what the real result of this is. We are in uncharted territory now. Our government's spent like a socialist communist government, to be quite honest with you, with no consideration for the fact that steel, wood, gas, oil, all these things have either doubled or trebled. So how are we going to manufacture? How are we going to produce food? I know tomato growing companies that aren't going to grow any tomatoes for the public this year. This is going to be seismic, what's going to happen here. And it isn't going to be solved in some political chamber. I really don't think it will be.
I don't either.
My hobbies, let me just throw something at that. One of my hobbies is that I date things from time to time, right? And there's a small group of us get together, and several months ago, we started doing trades on crypto futures, U.S. dollar.
Yep. You made a lot of money then.
I tell you that I think it's we actually, right? And it's really interesting to watch. You can also lose a huge amount of money, right? I'm not endorsing that. That is a speculative hobby for the lighthearted. It's one of those things that can get your farm if you make a mistake. With that said, it is amazing the amount of liquidity that you get in the market, i.e. the amount of volume that is in that trading market for trading, for example, Bitcoin, U.S. dollar spreads or futures. Holy cow. I mean, I have a system that can track the volume buys and sell offered, right? Almost everybody does, right? If you're on phase three or phase four, depending on what you use, it's pretty easy to see that. And I see trades bigger than anything that I see on the Dow 30. On a regular basis, and anything and bigger trades than you see on even some really highly volatile stock in the U.S. market, like say Tesla or an Amgen or somebody, you know, that people push really hard every once in a while, BNTX or Mara, any of those companies that have gotten themselves in these really volatile states. And listen, guys, it dwarfs what used to be the big speculative market, which was corn, beans, old orange juice, and cotton, you know, and oil, where people would go out and just do crazy crazy things once in a while. Huge amount of money that has moved of currencies already in the world. And governments just don't have any concept. They've already into all kinds of crypto.
Well, can I ask you a question? Do you think that all of this investment is backed by proper money, or do you think that these people might be doing what happened in 2008 and actually spending money they haven't got?
Yeah, I think all possible.
Well, I'm reluctant to ask.
Not for sure all of it is solid, but some of it is.
Okay, Jay, I'm just going to set this up because I don't have time to turn it to you, but is this all just a movement to completely render currency globally worthless, like the U.S. dollar? Is that the intended purpose by the powers that be? That's where we'll pick it up when we come back. I want to first remind you that Lone Creek Cattle Company is providing the opportunity for cattlemen, particularly in the Great Plains of America, to be a part of a system that gets you closer to what the consumer is paying for their food. We can talk all we want about double-digit inflation, but if the farmer doesn't get paid properly and the spread between farmer's gate price and the consumer's purchase price is too far, it's not going to work and the supply will dry up. That's exactly what Lone Creek has put together, a system that rewards the cattlemen for producing a tender product. The Piedmontese cattle, origin of Italy, have been in the United States for quite some time, and they have what they called Americanized them. They calve easy, they grow fast, and perform extreme. I'm about 2 weeks away from selling calves or shipping them. Can't wait to get that check. And I'll be taking that in U.S. dollars, by the way. Details about how you can get involved in the system at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. We'll be back with more Rural Route second half after this. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce alongside Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson. All right, Jay, I want to go to that just right away. Are we on the brink of the dollar being worth nothing?
So I don't think so, right? Systems that actually have all this liquidity in them today that I was talking about and all the volume are when they're trading against the US dollar, not when they're against each other. That's where you see the really, what's the term the kids use, the Reddit guys that are fun to listen to them talk. When the whales come in, right, and they're in a million to $10 trades, and you find out that it's some young kid somewhere. It's U.S. dollars they're trading. They're trading against the cryptocurrency. They're out of cryptocurrency with U.S. dollars. So it's in that circle. I don't think that's their intention. But listen, this is back to what I said before. So let's pretend like the U.S. government was a business, and we step back and we looked at we have this going on with some supermarket chains, for example, in the United States that are profitable supermarket chains that are actually in solidity on the books because they have a pension fund debt associated with small truck lines or something that they bought, small chains that they brought into their system. They have pension fund debts that there's no way that they can ever pay. And I look at U.S. government in that same respect that I believe at some point when you look out into the future, even if you have dollars, you know, escalating revenue and you have inflation and you try to factor it all in and you do the whole 1987 dollar value assessment, you know, you get in reverse and push it forward. I can't find anybody that thinks that we can even remotely pay for what our obligations are at the future, in the future, especially with shrinking workforce. And it appears to me the same thing as the United Kingdom. The same thing has already occurred in a number of European countries. And so the way investors will look at it is that, hey, this is a bad bet to invest in the future. I'm going to just go somewhere else. Well, you know, where do you go? What, And honestly, I don't investors flock to China. I hear this discussion as though, you know, China's just going to take over as world currency. But the problem with that is that their currency is being manipulated as any currency on the planet on a minute-by-minute basis. And so that really doesn't investors either. So what do they do? Where do they go? They don't go to gold.
So
we've seen that. You just look at what's going on. They're not rushing to buy gold worldwide. It's not happening.
Well, here's the thing, Jay. Just think about this. I want you to answer this question. So you invest in Bitcoin, a company, shares, dollar, whatever you want to invest in. If people's costs go up, let's say 30 or 40% in 1 year, how much then disposable income do these people have? And if they haven't got very much, if any at all, how does any business grow from that predicament? Because unless their wages keep in check with inflation, then you'll have no investment from people actually buying the goods that people have invested shares in these companies. That's what's happened in Venezuela. That's what happens in South America. And I believe it's about to happen in the United States and the UK. And the answer to your question is, the world is going to go bust. And what will happen is, the Great Reset will happen. That's what they forecast. They are trying to bring the world's economy down so that they can take all your possessions away from you, put you on social credit scoring, and tell you you pay a rental from now on. That's where we're heading. And so it doesn't matter what you invest.
So I have an interesting observation in that regard, because I happen to believe Andrew is 100% right. And the last week, you know, I became a big student of the Bolshevik Revolution, which happened 100 years ago this year. And that was the Bolsheviks' plan. Was the state owns everything and peasants work for the state. And what I finally figured out was that if you are black in the United States in 1858, you're a slave. If you're a white Russian in 1921 in the Bolshevik Revolution, you're a peasant. A slave and a peasant is the same person.
Yeah, very good.
And there's no doubt there's some will in the global entities that have money that want all of us to be slaves / peasants. That's what we're fighting.
You know, and I look at the G26, and I look at the 400 private planes, and I look at Prince Charles looking down his nose at people and telling people that they might not be able to travel anymore when he then nips off to the Middle East, the Far East, and God knows where else. And I look at these people and them whipping their masks off when the cameras aren't there. And actually, they revolt me. They absolutely revolt me that they think that we can't see through it. And I think one of the best things ever to have happened to the world is Beijing Biden, because he's a laughing stock. When he came out with that speech yesterday, everybody in the world knows that he's lying. America's economy's collapsing.
And it's except obvious. Him. He's the only one that doesn't know except, he's lying.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I say to you, Jay, I've speculated. It's like I look at Bitcoin. It's gone from $20,000 to $60,000 back to $50,000, you know, and it's just, but that's a currency. There's actually nothing that is being generated from that. No fantastic new products, new services, drugs.
You can't eat it. It won't heat you, and you can't make your life better with it. That you have to produce something. Yeah, that's my thought.
It's just purely gambling. It's gambling, actually. Now, and as you say, you can lose your shit.
Disagree. I would disagree with that comment. Let me take one. This we're doing a radio show, right? And so this actually applies to everybody that is operating the boards and the equipment in the radio stations all across the week. There's a new form of there's one of the forms of crypto that are being traded today is a crypto that invests in the licensing and the ownership of artistic materials, right? Well, if you own a radio station in the United States, for every advertisement that you sell, a portion of those funds to be dedicated to pay back for every time you play a record or some artist to make sure that they get their royalty, right? Well,
yeah,
that has always been really cumbersome, and it's really difficult, and there's a lot of audits. It becomes a big pain in the rear for everybody involved in the system. So a bunch of these new hip-hop artists have started their own crypto, and I can go in and I buy one of their coins, but that coin is actually the rights for me to make a million copies of that particular record, whatever it may happen to be, copies, whatever the agreement is between the two of us, and I have a coin that represents that instead of a contract or a dollar or a stack of dollars, right? And the coin is just representative of that exchange between the two of us. If the person on the other side is perfectly happy with that, what you actually do see happening in a bunch of these currency products, it is basically. And so that's the confusion that comes about. It is.
Well, yeah, but Bitcoin's not a share, works. Is it? Because Bitcoin's not a share.
It could be.
Bitcoin is a currency. Bitcoin's not investing in artists, no. So that's not a share, is it? Bitcoin's
no, just, but a, see,
just a bet. Even
it could be a Bitcoin. I can actually buy a new vehicle with Bitcoin, for example. I never send them any dollars at all.
No,
and so
it's a currency.
In that respect,
it's a currency. I don't dispute that it's a currency, but you've described two different things. Right. There, to be fair to you, you've described one which is a share, which is called crypto. I'm just saying to you that cryptocurrency. First of all, if all of a sudden the internet. Where can you redeem your money? It scares me, this does, because I think to myself, hang on a minute, where's your certificate? Where's your, you know, how does that all work? And secondly, if all of a sudden, you know, the internet pulls itself down, which I can see happening fairly soon as well, because it's going to collapse under the lawsuits it's going to get, especially Google. Google yesterday committed a huge crime by taking the information of the website down of that guy that committed the crime in Wisconsin. There's going to be all sorts of legislation and litigation against these huge conglomerate internet businesses. So I'm very worried about it. I would be very worried about cryptocurrency if it can't materialize itself in something.
I have 1 minute. I want you to expand upon that. Is crypto dependent upon the internet? It would have to be if it's digital.
I actually don't think so. I think there's probably crypto currently being swapped and traded today via cell phone infrastructure than it is over the internet.
And doesn't the cell phone still use the internet technology? Huh. That's an interesting question.
Sometimes yes, no.
All right, we got to go to a break. We have one segment left. I want to remind you that nitric oxide is a key element. It is something you are born with at a very high level. Mother's breast milk has tremendous nitric oxide because it's a wonderful thing for stimulating the immune system, stimulating your brain. And why would you not want that when you're 50 as well as being an infant? Dr. Nathan Bryan has all of the details and explains it in great detail about the benefit of nitric oxide and how nitrates have been demonized for whatever reason. Doesn't matter what happened there. What you need to know is that you need to take a daily supplement, and that's what I do and have done for 18 years. Get details at NO2U.com, NO2U.com. Put Trent in the coupon code, and you're going to pay no shipping and get a 10% discount. We're back for the last segment of Rural Route after this. That's NO2U.com. Welcome back, Trent Lewis, alongside Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson, in from the UK. All right, so I want to change the subject a bit because this was something that Andrew and I talked about yesterday morning on Across the Pond, and then Hank and I talked about it on Roll Route, and I haven't done the research on it, but I'm going to. It kind of came up today already. Friday, the White House announced that they were going to ask China to release oil reserves because there's oil. You know, we know that there's a shortage of oil because a guy named Biden has been crippling the infrastructure to take oil from the soil and produce it into gas and fuel we can use. But Hank,
Hank
has been to China because his wife is from China. His wife's family lives in China. He's been to China 3 years before COVID. He went every year. That they don't recover any oil. They have no oil. They are an oil importer. So the oil that they have in reserve is probably in Payne County, Oklahoma. It's in our, they own the oil that's in our country.
Our reserve.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, you two guys don't know what's happened, do you? Biden has just authorized an hour ago that he's going to open your reserve to try and bring fuel prices down.
No.
He's just announced it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, no, but our reserve and their reserve are the same thing.
Well, yeah, Beijing Biden, it sort of figures, really. But there you go.
Okay, but it's no accident that Friday he asked for China to release their reserve and today announces, hey, we've released our reserve. It's just to make sure people don't know who actually owns the oil that's in inventory in the United States.
Well, I think part of it is as well, though, is that you've got a number of foreign investors that have bought into. I mean, a lot of oil wells are comprised of private investors, right, and private investment firms. They're
right.
Like miniature LLCs, little companies scattered all across the plains of America, and that our reserve. One of the things that it was a shock to me. I'll be honest with you. I was born and raised. You know, the first half of my young life was right in the middle of oil country, and I wasn't aware that the reserve wasn't a bunch of tanks somewhere. I just assumed they were oil tanks in places like Houston and Chicago, where you see giant tanks alongside the highway when you drive into town. I thought that's where the oil reserve was. No, the oil reserve are the wells that they would cap or restrict production on so that you could only X number of days per week. Well, the Chinese had officially purchased some of the shares of some of the wells. And for them, that was their reserve as well. And so we are one and the same. And I think we might be surprised at how little we know about who owns the oil in the United States as it is already.
Yeah, I think we need to
find out. I'm just reading about it now. And sorry, go on, Carrie.
That's all I want to say is we need to find out. Sinopec is the largest oil company in the world, number in terms of revenue. Guess who owns them? Yeah.
Beijing.
Beijing. That happens to be where their headquarters is located, Andrew. Nice guess.
Listen to this. The U.S. will release 50 million barrels of crude oil from its strategic reserves in concert with China, Japan, India, South Korea, and the UK in an unprecedented coordinated.
Whoa, China got him. He's gone.
Uh-oh, yeah.
All right.
Did I go there?
Andrew, China's been an unprecedented move. Go ahead. Started it in an unprecedented move.
Well, it's China, India, Japan, South Korea, and the UK, as well as the US. And it says this in a strategic a coordinated attempt by the world's largest oil consumers to tame prices that could prompt a backlash by OPEC. Well, these are the very people that have been trying to tell us that the world needs the Green New Deal. I mean, what are they on about? I mean, it's just frightening, isn't it? It's just frightening. The garbage that's coming out.
And by the way, it was a week ago today that the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, laughed when she was asked. She literally laughed hysterically in an interview when she was asked, why can't you just turn loose some reserves? And she said, the oil is controlled by OPEC. I have that clip. I saved it.
Well,
how long are people going to let somebody play with their life like this without taking measures? And by the way, the first measure is call your elected official and say that if you vote for this ridiculous overpriced spending package again, you're fired.
Doesn't seem to worry them because a lot of them are just resigned anyway, aren't they?
But you're absolutely right. It doesn't worry them.
No. But that is why it does have to have, we need to have some fundamental change worldwide. If the very same thing that's happening with all these cronies in what I would describe as your deep state, the big issue in the UK at the moment, Jay, is that all our politicians are being caught for the massive second incomes they've all got as a result of being politicians. And it's the big story at the moment. And what gives me a lot of confidence is it's happening all over the world. These people, the press, without even the mainstream media, are getting called out, even though the mainstream media, by and large, support governments. All this information is leaking out every day. And so it's giving me quite a lot of confidence that they're not going to survive in the form that they're at because of it.
Agreed.
I thought that
I
was
think,
Jay.
I mean, I, it's, no, I mean, at the point, obviously, they're all going to start to circle the wagon. And I kind of thought that it would have happened prior to this, but so far they haven't really got things completely circled. They keep running them around, but they haven't got.
Well,
them.
Andrew, it's been no secret in the United States that the people in elected office will come into office with some money. Other than a couple, you don't usually get in office unless you have some accumulated wealth. But they leave office filthy rich. I mean, that's just well documented. How that happens, but even though we know it, everybody's like, yeah, well, that happens. Why not get to the bottom of it and make sure it doesn't happen? Because this is leading to every problem we talk about.
I think we need less smaller government. They should be better rewarded, but there should be huge penalties if they're ever caught insider trading. Just while we're on the oil subject. The result of Beijing Biden's fantastic move this morning has been what? Come on, guys. What do you think's happened to the price of oil?
Oh, it probably went up.
It's gone up.
Yeah, sure.
If he's investing in it, let's all invest in it. It's up 1.18% so far.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't
it? Pretty modest, though, honestly. Yeah, that's a modest increase.
Yeah, but you would expect it to fall
any given day.
If somebody puts a load of material back on the market, you'd expect it to fall, wouldn't you?
Hey? Well, so we trade oil on refined oil, right? And so if you can increase the supply of it, there's more to sell. It kind of works in the inverse in the oil end, but shortages will drive
you're making the assumption
high, but it can also shut the market down.
You're making the assumption that the transport lines are all still in place to make that replenish the supply easy. Yeah. And I think that is pretty well documented. We've crippled the infrastructure to keep that flow going. That's the biggest problem.
Well, I think that's for sure true.
Go, Jay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if you want to investigate who owns all that oil, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, CFIUS, is the place where you go to look at all the different stuff that they review. CFIUS.gov, I think, is the website. But they're the people that intervene in this in the United States, and we might find out that it's a bunch of people like that, you know, the Yahoo that came up last week that we find out is, like, you know, not suited for public office. We've had a bunch of those here recently, people that are, you know, being considered public appointments to, for example, a bank board or the Fed that absolutely hate, I mean hate, the very people they're going to regulate. So,
you know, this crude, this oil, you know, re-injecting the economy with oil, right? And what happens if, because I've been reading some of the stuff online, I don't know how true it is, but it's rumored that 250,000 truckers are going to go on strike against in the US. So what will happen if you've got loads of oil sloshing around and no trucks working?
Yeah, that's already an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, last Thursday's Trent on the Loose was about the trucking industry and the inability to get cattle hauled where they need to be hauled. Steve Hilker joined me on air. He's got 11 trucks sitting still because he can't get somebody to drive them.
I'll tell you,
milk prices rocket because people.
1 minute, Jay.
Go on, Jay.
Here's an interesting shift that took place. If you look here a few years ago, about 20 years ago, ConocoPhillips came under fire for being one that had too much market power. So they decided on their own to start divesting. And they ended up selling off different refineries of theirs to different entities. Delta Airlines is the second largest share of what once was ConocoPhillips. Delta Airlines takes all their oil supply and puts it into jet fuel. They don't make things out of it. They make one for them. And what they don't use, they sell to other airlines. And we've seen a bunch of that kind of stuff place in the United States where old refineries, they couldn't be renewed, so they just found their best use and they went to a best use customer. Unfortunately, one of those was not independent truckers in the United States, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't figure out how to actually cap diesel. And so, you know, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's sad.
And that will be the final word of the day on this Thanksgiving week, 2021. We've journeyed down the road, killed in urban America. All three of us remind you that all roads do lead to a roll route.